This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only national golf talk radio and TV program. Presented by TaylorMade. Golf has a new game-changing number. Experience TaylorMade speed with the forgiveness of 10K inertia with the all-new QI 10 Max. Only from TaylorMade. Visit TaylorMadeGolf.ca to learn more about the QI 10 Carbon Woods. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
Al, good morning, Canada. Zacchino with you, Weeks with you. Adam, off today. He is participating in the Adidas Cup at Pinehurst. And in fact, Bob, I got a message from Scully, I'm going to say it was last night. I don't know. The day, it's a bit of a blur. But I got a text saying I was 2 under through 6 holes on number 2 at Pinehurst. And then reality set in. So I'm guessing it didn't last, Weeksy.
Well, you know how that goes. you got to play all 18 holes. But I know he's having a good time down there. I think he had a 79 at one point. He sent me the first scorecard. I think they got a couple of rounds on 2, and then I think they were playing 10 as well. So pretty nice trip. A little recon mission for the upcoming U.S. Open as well.
Yes, and apparently he has arranged a meeting or interview or something along those lines with the golf director at Pinehurst.
Okay.
Talking a little bit about setup and preparation and whatnot for U.S. Open that we can use in a couple of months' time. Of course, we've got a PGA Championship before we get to a U.S. Open. We've got lots to get to today. We've got Matthew Anderson. Joining us live in the second hour. Matt is 24 years old, Mississauga, Ontario, played on PGA Tour Canada last year, and just became the first Canadian to ever win on what is now PGA Tour Americas, which is the combination of PGA Tour Latino America and PGA Tour Canada under this new umbrella tour that feeds into the Corn Ferry. He won the Brazil Open. He birdied the last 2 holes to do so. Bob, we've got your interview with Jeff Ogilvie, who I guess was in the news recently alongside Mike Weir, which we'll get into. Before I get to news and headlines, Bob, something you kind of texted me last night and I'm curious about. I've been hearing a lot of, now, like, I'm hearing more about ladies golf because of what Nelly Korda has been doing. And again, obviously I was working the RBC Heritage, so I was trying to watch it, you know, kind of through one corner of my eye, so to speak. I didn't get to give it the full attention it deserved. But I've had friends and people come up to me that normally never talk about LPGA Tour. They never talk about, you know, anything kind of happening. Maybe Brooke Henderson stirs their pot a little, but other than Brooke, you know, it doesn't hit their radar. And all of a sudden, it's on their radar. Do you think this is getting the attention that it deserves? Have you been getting, you know, messages or calls or people kind of coming out of the woodwork that normally don't approach you about women's golf that all of a sudden are because of what Nelly's done this historic run? Or do you think it's the other side of the coin? Because I hear some people out there, you know, suggesting that we're not celebrating what Nelly's doing enough.
I'm getting a little bit of both. I'm getting a lot of people, just casual people saying, well, how about what Nelly, you know, how about Nelly? How about that Nelly? And you never used to hear that before about, unless it was Brooke Henderson, of course, and equal number of people asking about Scotty. But I think there's a little bit more attention on it. If I look at, you know, watching reports, I did a hit yesterday in SportsCenter that was all on Nelly, and I can tell you, we haven't done many like that before. That was the five things about what she was doing, and then we had a little Q&A afterwards, Jermaine Franklin and I. So I think it is getting attention, and I think it's only going to keep growing when she plays. Don't forget last week as well, topping it off with a fifth win was a major, and Brooke Henderson was in the running, so there was a lot of focus on that event as a whole. But to see Nelly Korda walk out of there with 5 wins now, it's pretty remarkable, and I think it's getting a lot of attention, maybe not quite as much as I think it deserves.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, it's been a long time since we've been here in both the men's and ladies game, right? It's probably Lorena Ochoa and Tiger Woods kind of too dominant. Would that be accurate, Bob, in your mind, the last time we've had two clear world-class number ones kind of crushing everyone?
Yeah, probably around that time. I think Lorena Ochoa, you know, Annika Sorenstam, Tiger Woods. I mean, there's, I don't know if anyone's won five in a row, but you go down to players on the men's tour who've had hot streaks, like Dustin Johnson for a while, like Jordan Spieth for a while. There have, but I don't know if anybody's, you know, sustained it over five consecutive tournaments, or in the case of Scottie Scheffler, you know, four plus a second place, one putt away from a playoff. And it's amazing to think that if you combine the 10 events that they've played, the only person to beat any of them is Steven Yeager, which is a little unusual to think about, isn't it?
And he gets it done on what is like a, what was it, like a missed 5-footer, 6-footer on the 72nd green that Scotty would love to have back at the Houston Open. But regardless, it's so impressive. We'll get into some of Scotty's numbers a little later in the show. Let's there is some news, so let's hit some news and some headlines.
News and headlines are brought to you by Sandbagger Hard Seltzer. Sandbagger, everybody knows one.
All right, we're going to hear from Jeff Ogilvy at the bottom of the hour. But he was named one of the assistant captains for Mike Weir, Ernie Els, Trevor Immelman, Jeff Ogilvy, and Camilo Vijegas. No arguments with any of these players at all. I like the lineage. I like what the international team is putting together. I like what Ryan Hart said on Golf Talk Canada a couple shows back about sticking with the big build-out and the gold and the black and the shields and trying to carry forward what Ernie Els put together to create a team environment. The one thing is missing for me, Bob, and I'm a little surprised, and I'm trying not to be a homer, but did you not think that there might have been an assistant captain named to this squad that might have been a Canadian? Maybe a Stephen Ames, who is just playing some incredible golf. Maybe, I know Graham Dillette's doing the junior side of things at the President's Cup, but maybe a Graham Dillette. And if you're not surprised by it, do you think there's still a chance we see it at some point between now and Montreal?
There is one more captain's assistant to be named. There, each side is going to have five, and I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say that or not, but too late now. And, so there is room for one more. Now, if you're looking at it from a bigger picture, you might think that there would be somebody from the Korean side, because undoubtedly there'll be a handful of Koreans on this team. So I don't know if it's KJ Choi or they're going to move past KJ to somebody else. I spoke to Graham at the Masters, and you know, it might have been over a couple of adult beverages, but he didn't really think that he was in the running for it. And I talked to Mike about this a while back, and he kind of downplayed the idea, just saying, you know, this is in Canada, but it's an international team, and we've got to think long term here as well, because, you know, let's face it, Trevor Immelman and Ernie Els are not going to be the captains again. They don't really want to be. So Jeff Ogilvy is pretty much guaranteed to be the captain when they go to Australia in 4 years. So you got to bring in probably some new blood. You know, just as they did with Camilo, he was his first time as a captain's assistant last time. The other guys have all been around for a little bit. So I don't know if they want to find a young gun or someone who's going to sort of progress through with the team. But it's not an easy task. Mike did tell me at one point, he wouldn't name names, but he said he had about 6 or 7 guys that he was considering. And he said this might be tougher than telling the guys on the team that they're not actually on the team when the time comes. But so he's got some thinking to do, and we'll see what the last position holds.
But, you know, like I said, I'm trying not to be a homer, because I would love to see a second Canadian in terms of assistant. But you're right, though, Bob, in the sense that it is a difficult conversation. And I'm sure Mike's leaning on Ernie and Trevor and, you know, past captains and having the big discussion in the room, because you're looking not just where the host venue is going to be, like, okay, we're going to go back to America, then we're going to go to Australia, then we're going to go. So you're looking kind of down the road. Where the international teams are going to be the host country. And you're also trying to forecast, to your point, potential language barriers, because there's no doubt that moving forward, you know, Korea is not going to have a stake on this team. There's going to be Korean players, like, that full stop, right? And likely several of them. And that's got, do you not think that they're sitting in the room right now going, okay, guys, like, how do we figure this out? And how do we make, you know, add somebody to the puzzle? Now, to your point, are they skipping KJ? Because, I mean, when that lines up, KJ just might be too far down the line in terms of age. Is that this is not an as easy a recipe as it is for the Americans, like not even close.
No, and you need someone who is around the PGA Tour, who can keep an eye on the PGA Tour, someone who can you know, and I don't know how much Champions Tour stuff KJ is playing. I guess I should have looked at that, but it's there are just a lot of obstacles there, and I maybe there's not going to be. Maybe he's going to find someone a little bit different, you know, but maybe there's sort of the next Camilo Villegas who was on there last time for the first time. In Charlotte, so they may be looking down the line a little bit further to try and groom somebody to take over eventually, like you suggested, Mark. We don't know where they're going to go after Australia, but I know they, talking to the PGA Tour, just off the top of their head, some people have said, you know, we'd love to do one in South America. We've never been there. Or do you go back to South Africa and have a player from the South African side join in? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what Mike does. I spoke with both Jeff Ogilvy and Camilo on Monday. One on Monday, one on Tuesday, and they're both just pumped for Mike Weir. They say he is so detailed oriented. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens when they get going with this thing.
All right, Tiger earlier this week, for anyone keeping up on TGL, and I'm amazed, Bob, we sent out a Twitter poll question. We're going to get to it in the next segment, actually, about people's level of excitement towards TGL. And normally when you attach Tiger's name to something, the energy just, like, automatically people's excitement goes up. Just, you know, they get excited to see him come out and, you know, lollygag it for 36 holes, you know, at the Hero World Challenge. You know, all of a sudden people tune into to that. If he hands out a trophy at the Genesis in a year he can't play, people get excited. You know, there's a Tiger's head. There seems to be a lack of enthusiasm for the TGL. Now, we're a bit of a ways out, and we sent out a Twitter poll at Golf Talk Canada on Twitter. I think it might be closed. We'll get into it next. We'll see. But you'll be surprised, maybe, on the lack of enthusiasm. Jupiter Lynx Golf Club is Tiger's team. He named Max Homa, Tom Kim, and Kevin Kisner to his team. Bob, A, are you surprised at the lack of enthusiasm out there? Or B, have you experienced something other than that? Are you seeing excitement? Or C, are we just too far out yet and this isn't real and people don't really know what it is?
Yeah, I would suggest the latter. I think that right now people have it's not on their radar yet. They really don't know what this is all about. I think it's hard for them to comprehend what it's going to look like, what it's going to feel like, what their thoughts about it are. You know, it's just a little bit too far. It is pretty radically different from what we see on the PGA Tour. Not in a bad way by any means, but it's a change. So, but I do look at that lineup that Tiger's got now for his team, and I go, man, this is great. I love this team. I mean, you've got three of the biggest personalities in golf joining Tiger when you have Max Homa, Kevin Kisner, and Tom Kim. And, you know, they may not win every tournament, but, boy, they're going to have a lot of fun, and you're going to hear from these guys, which I think is kind of the objective of this. It's a little bit more loose. It's a little bit more less rules-oriented and more fun. So I think it's going to be pretty interesting. They said, you know, it's going to launch January 7th, so I guess it's not that far away, but still, it's just not on people's radar yet.
So we'll have to see. I'm with you too. And I hope they play around with some production stuff. Like, I hope, to your point, we've got everybody mic'd up. We get, you know, we get the conversation, we get the needling, we get the chatter. Cause I think, you know, this is where this could go, where it might be fun and it might be interesting, to your point, especially with some of the personalities involved. I mean, we certainly don't need a bunch of guys hitting golf balls quietly into a giant screen. Like, I don't know if that's going to work. All right. Rory McIlroy, Bob, what is going on? I am so confused with Rory. I know you and I both agree that this is a great event for him this week. And in hour two, you and I are going to, and I've got Scully's picks for the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. So we've got our team selections coming up. Last week, you and I kind of both agreed that he needs to go and have some fun with Shane Lowry. There were some signs of an assemblance of a game at the RBC Heritage, not as much as what you would like to see. But now rumors circulating or news leaking suggesting that Rory is coming right back to the PGA Tour policy board. And this is 6 months after he resigned and said, you know, I don't want to get involved with that anymore. And it was taking me away from the things I need to do on the golf course. And here he is right back here. A, is this a surprise to you? Because it's a surprise to me. And B, what else is going on here? Is this Rory just trying to put himself in a position where he doesn't have to deal with any more of the live bot BS rumors again? Or is this Rory saying, if I want a deal to happen between these two larger entities, I need to stay engaged until this is done?
Probably a little bit of both. I would think that from Rory's standpoint, you know, he did get off because I think he was frustrated with what was happening, with where it was going, but more importantly, with the amount of time it was taking. He mentioned that a couple times over the last little while, you know, how many hours he was spending on the phone. And I think he's a very important voice for the PGA Tour. So I think that he sort of understands that, yeah, look, I've got to get on this because if I want to have a say in what's going to happen in the future, I think I really have to put my foot down. And he is. Listen, people look up to him. People listen to him. And I'm not just talking about guys like you and me. I'm talking about his fellow PGA Tour players. I think they do like him. So, and I think he's just, his nature is that he wants to be involved, that he wants to have a say, that he wants to be at the table. You know, you talk to him, even in some of those, some of the events that I've done, the private corporate events that I've done where Rory's been on the stage with, say, four or five others, he dominates the conversation, not because we ask him that many questions, but because he always has an opinion to give. And I think that this is just kind of more of the same, that he felt, perhaps if I want to see the change through, I'm going to have to step up. I think it's great. Nothing, no offense to Webb Simpson, who's going to step down. But I think it's really good that Rory is involved and is going to have a say in shaping the future of whatever this turns out to look like.
Yeah, I think I feel better that he's more engaged. I feel better too that he's involved, Bob, because the tour needs to be on the same page. And we've all gotten the rumors about, you know, potentially his relationship with Cantlie and how there's different people at the table with different agendas and things like that. I think certainly this stuff needs to get flushed out, and we got to move past it one way or another. Now, some other stuff that needs to get flushed out, maybe you and I could chat about it on the other side. We're going to go to our Twitter poll for Golf Talk Canada and let you know what our audience is thinking about this TGL Golf League. But there's also a bunch of kind of rumors and bad news circulating about our national championship, the RBC Canadian Open, the fact that we don't have a venue for 2025. Maybe we can get some clarity to it next and at least kind of get into what we do know, because there's a lot of people right now out there, and I'm using air quotations, reporting stuff that isn't necessarily true. So let's do it next, and we'll get the TGL. It's Weeksy, it's Zucchino, and we're doing GTC on a Wednesday. We'll be back next.
This segment of GTC was presented by TaylorMade and the new QI10 Carbon Woods. Experience TaylorMade speed with the forgiveness of 10K inertia with the all-new QI10 Max. Only from TaylorMade. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Movember, the official men's health partner of Golf Talk Canada. You can get involved and help change the face of men's health by visiting Movember.com today.
And welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Okay, Zucchino and Casa de Campo. I'm not trying to upset anybody back home.
You're upsetting me. You're upsetting me.
I know, Bob. I know. It is. I'll give you two in Fahrenheit, because everything here is in Fahrenheit. It's feels this afternoon. Are you ready for this? Feels like 98.
Wow. That's a little toasty. That's a little toasty.
Talk about one end of the spectrum to the next. I mean, I was home for a very quick cup of coffee, and it was cold. I was really excited that I thought our golf season was over. Before I get to our poll question here, Bob, have you played Westin yet? Is it open? Have you been out there? Where are we on the Westin front?
Yeah, Westin has been open for over a week, and I have not been there yet. It's been a little cool. I had a game scheduled for Saturday, but I didn't like playing in the snow pellets, so I took a pass. but But I think we're underway for this weekend. It's supposed to be nice. I think actually starting to get a little warmer. I noticed next week it's going to get up into the 20s, high of the 20s. So I think we're officially past the worst of it. Maybe a couple more days. I think it's only like 11 or 12 today, but starting to get there. We're closing in on it.
And we need it for the Canadian Open. I mean, we've moved up. I remember you and I in 2019, we were standing on the first tee shooting Golf Talk Canada Television at Hamilton Country Club. And it was the Tuesday of the RBC Canadian Open, and we were freezing. And someone hit a switch that Thursday morning, and it got nice. And this year, I believe the Sunday of the Canadian Open is June 2nd. So we're teeing off in May. It can be dicey. We need it to turn, Bob.
It's the first time in Canadian Open history, which is over 100 years, that the tournament has started in May. So we played, I think they said they played in 8 of the 12 months now. They actually had one way back in October that stretched into October. But listen, we need it for a couple of reasons. We need it to make it more comfortable and to avoid all the cliches about, oh, it's so cold in Canada coming up there. But we need a little growth, you know. We need a little green grass growing there. Get those mowers out and do a few things. So I think I've been talking to the guys at Hamilton, and there seems to be good reports. We're going to have a media outing there in a couple of weeks, so we'll get to test it out firsthand, and hopefully the divots and the ball marks will be repaired in time for the Canadian Open by all of us hackers. Sun and a little heat. We could use a lot more of that right now.
All right. Well, speaking of the Canadian Open, Bob, okay, let me tell you what I think I know. And then you can tell me where I'm wrong. I believe we're going to have an amazing national championship. I love Hamilton. Recently won the renovation of the year for Golf Digest. I think the players love it, and the players remember it in 2019, and they haven't seen it since the renovation. So I think they're going to love it even more. They did a tremendous job without losing the fabric or the soul of what was Hamilton, which can always be scary when you do a renovation. Wait till we get to Oakland Hills. I don't know if you've seen Oakland Hills since the reno there. I had no idea where I was when we were down in Detroit a couple years ago, and I took a look at that property. I was shocked, but Hamilton did not do that. It's still Hamilton. I love it. I understand that RBC is still the sponsor of our national championship. I'm under the impression that negotiations, and they are still working towards a new agreement, an extension, or something new that would carry it down the road. That is not in place as of yet. That any reports of RBC walking away from the national championship are incorrect. That's premature. Just because we haven't landed on a new agreement yet doesn't mean that anyone's potentially leaving. Obviously, the world changes and business is business and nothing's guaranteed. But I'm under the impression that, you know, that they're still talking and working. But I'm also under the impression that we don't have a venue for next year. And we do not have a host golf course for the RBC Canadian Open for 2025. So, would any of that summary be inaccurate in your mind? Do you know anything else? Are there any courses rumored for 25? I've heard nothing.
I kind of follow along with what you just said. I think a lot of it hinges on what's the sponsorship going to look like. And I'm same vein as you. The longer this goes, I think the more I'm inclined to believe that RBC is going to renew. They have a 1-year deal that expires after this year's event, and I think at this point it's just almost too late for them to pull out and say, here you go, here's your national championship, and hand it back, and we'd be racing to try and find a sponsor and a location. I've heard a couple of different places that are being considered. There's not many possibilities, so. You know, maybe Osprey Valley, are you going to go up there now? And it's just a long way out, and it makes the drive a bit longer for a lot of the players. There's not a lot of places to stay nearby. Does that matter? I don't know. That's a possibility. After that, you know, you start looking at what options there are. And I've talked to some RBC or some Golf Canada people, and they feel comfortable. So there must be something that they've got in their hat that they can pop out. It's not going to be St. George's. Both sides have agreed that that's just not palatable. That was one possibility, but it's not going to be there again from what I understand. So I think it's just a wait and see, but it's getting, you know, the longer it goes, the more dire I think it gets in terms of announcing things and firming things up for next season.
Yeah, certainly. And from the RBC front, Bob, to your point, people forget that RBC, they're just not the sponsor of our national championship. They've got you know, RBC Heritage, which we just put the book on. They've got a huge investment in golf in their ambassador program. So, I mean, they're involved in the game of golf in so many different ways. And it's going, like, to your point, the longer it goes and whatnot, I mean, yes, you've got to make sometimes hard decisions, and yes, you've got to make decisions that work for you. But, I mean, to still remain invested in golf and not have the RBC Canadian Open as kind of the jewel of your portfolio makes no sense to me whatsoever. But then again, I'm not at the table. Okay, we're running out of time. We'll get to the poll question later in the show. Just like always, Bob, I will. What do you want to talk about? And then we never get it. Then we always run out of time. But I'm looking forward to our next segment because I haven't heard the interview yet, so I really want to hear it. Bob went one-on-one with Jeff Ogilvie, part of Mike Weir's team for the international squad at the President's Cup later this year in Montreal. We'll play it for you next. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by Movember, the official men's health partner of Golf Talk Canada. You can get involved and help change the face of men's health by visiting Movember.com today. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories. Visit weathertech.ca.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. It is Weeks. It is Zucchino. Mike Weir on Monday named his President's Cup assistant captains. They are Ernie Els, Trevor Immelman, Camilo Villegas, and Jeff Ogilvie. Of course, the President's Cup will happen at the end of September at Royal Montreal. Of course, that was the site of the 2007 President's Cup, where the international team lost the home game, but Mike Weir took down Tiger Woods on Sunday singles in front of that Canadian crowd. Can we bring that mojo back and get an international win? Well, we got a few months to find out. Of course, we're going to go to Olympics before that. It's a very much an international year in the world of golf. Bob had the opportunity to go one-on-one with the vice captain, Jeff Ogilvie.
And here is Jeff Ogilvie, newly named captain's assistant for the international team on the President's Cup. And Jeff, you played in this in 2007 in Montreal. What are your memories of that event?
Well, I mean, the one that sticks out the most, I think, is, well, there's two. I mean, Jack and Gary were captains, which was obviously, like, amazing to have Jack and Gary, like, have Gary Player, like, telling us jokes in the bus on the way to the golf course every day. just interacting with those two was just incredible. But, I mean, I saw the little smile on your face. The thing that sticks out me the most is Tiger and Wheezy on Sunday. Right. Well, and Woody Austin fell in the water, I think, didn't he? On, like, 14, maybe? Was it 13 or 14? But yeah, Tiger, when I was out in the course, the tournament was kind of over, and it just ended up, like, we were 5 points down, I think, going into the singles, maybe. Yeah. And it kind of worked out. I don't know if there was any manipulation to the draw or whatever, but it turned out that Tiger played Wheezy, which was great because Wheezy had been having a bit of a bad run, and Tiger was Tiger in 2007, and I was playing Stricker, I think, and there was about four or five matches behind them. I feel like they were in the middle of the draw. And Stricker, me, all of us who were playing at the back, we really kind of only had interest in, like, what was going on because the noise was nuts. And finally turns out that Wheezy held that great putt on 18. Like, he finished off great and beats Tiger. And it was like, we kind of ended. It almost felt like a victory a little bit, you know, just cause it was so Canada was happy because their man beat Tiger Woods on the Sunday. That's my biggest memory. Just remember having a great time. I just think it was it was a brilliant tournament. I mean, I love Royal Montreal. I think I've played maybe two or three Canadian Opens there as well. Yeah. And just always like going there. It's just a cool city. You go to Canada and it's, for us, I think you play in the US or for an Australian, it's sort of not really going to a foreign country. You know, it's same language, right. especially for an Australian, it's a Commonwealth country. And I feel like we see the world the same way, Australians and Canadians. But when you go to Quebec, it's different, right? Like, it's like an exotic trip for us, and old Montreal, and like having a good time. And yeah, I've always loved going there.
All right. So what's this is your fourth time as the captain's assistant. What do you see as your role here?
It's just to support Wheezy, or support the captain. This time it's Wheezy. However, sort of he'll the captain usually sort of sets the vibe, and like sort of he sort of decides the structure. I mean, we've all this group that we've got. I mean, we've all played a bunch of President's Cups. This sort of captain's group, if you like, has sort of been together for the last few. Similar to kind of what Europe seems to have done, and the US seems to be doing with the Ryder Cup team. Europe, they always seem to have the sort of similar faces, because there is it's nice to have a bit of continuity with these things, I think. So each captain usually sets their own sort of vibe and has a program of sort of their way of sort of going through this, and our job is just to support that, help bring the I mean, one of the biggest things we can do, obviously there's some sort of logistical things that we help with just during the week, because there's a lot of stuff going on, you know, driving from one side of the course in the cart, delivering stuff to players and making sure everyone's got all the stuff they need. But I think mostly the role is how quickly can we become a team, you know? I mean, we're individuals in an individual sport. We come together once every 2 years, or our team at least comes together once every 2 years to become a team. And I think our job is to just make sure it really feels like a great team environment. The teams that seem to win seem to be the ones who are the most into winning for their friends and the most invested in the whole team concept. And our job is really just to how quickly can we get that happening, you know, I think.
And in that situation, you guys have a little bit of a more of an uphill climb, because you've got players from different continents, different languages. Is that as much of an issue anymore, or is it a little easier to kind of bring everyone together quickly?
I think it's getting easier and easier. It has been difficult in the past. I mean, we do have sort of Japanese, Korean, other the languages that we usually have to get to, and we've had some Spanish, some Latin Americans over the years too. And lining up cultures can't be that it is not that easy. I know, you know, we're all kind of we know each other on tour, but it's different when you bump into each other on the locker room or the range or something, or you play together on a Thursday or a Friday, and then you're actually all of a sudden on the same team. But it is definitely getting easier and easier. I think over the years we've sort of learned how to do that a bit quicker. And I think we do a lot better job. I mean, I think last year we had Tom Kim's been fantastic for us. He's Korean, but he's American Korean. He speaks better English. He speaks better English than us. And not that he's a translator, but he sort of can. He's, as I say, he's got that American and Korean cultures, and he knows how to sort of bring everyone together. And we've got a younger team now. I think back, if we talk about 2007, for example, it was VJ, Ernie. I don't know if Nick Weiss is still there. Goose, you know. So there's like guys like me and Adam who were kind of the young guys. And there was quite a generational gap too. There's less of that now. And I think that really helps, because, as you know, 23-year-olds and 45-year-olds have a different view on everything. That's certainly the thing. But Trevor did an incredible job. Actually, Ernie really started it. Ernie, not started it, but Ernie did an amazing job in Melbourne in 2019, about just reinvigorating the whole thing. And he came up with the shield and gave all the guys who weren't on the team something to aspire to. Well, I want some of that stuff one day, and I want to be part of this thing. And then Trevor just took it and ran with it. Trevor last time was amazing. He really sort of inspired and got everyone involved. And we had an incredible week last time. We were hanging out at the golf course after we played for a lot longer, and there was all that great team stuff, you know, in the bus on the way back. And it was a really, really good vibe. And I think hopefully we can bring back a big chunk of that team from last time, but the captain's group being similar, it's exciting that Trevor's back. Ernie took a year off, but he's coming back, which is really cool. And Camillo was amazing last time, so I think yeah, we're in a good spot. I think we're in a pretty good spot. I think the vibe is really good amongst the boys. They're always talking about it. There's WhatsApp groups that have been going on since Quail Hollow. And there's always a bit of banter and stuff going on. So, Trevor did a really, really good job. And got everyone sort of, it's got more of a feel like maybe the Europeans and stuff do have about their Ryder Cup team. Like it's something that we talk about all the time and sort of get excited about. So I think we're in a good spot.
So, you talked about Ernie, you talked about Trevor. What kind of a captain is Mike Weir going to be?
He's going to be great, I think. I mean, I don't know how many President's Cups did he play? Like four or five, something?
Four or five, I think.
Yeah, and then he's been a captain's assistant a few times. He's going to be great. He's very measured, Weirzy, as you know.
Yes.
It's going to be very well planned. It'll be well thought out. Everything will be very organized because he's a very organized golfer and a very organized guy. And I think that gives comfort to players when everything feels like it's been taken care of and all you have to do is play golf. And when he walks out on the first tee on Thursday, like Canada's going to embrace Mike Weir. They always have. Every time I've been anywhere near Weirzy in Canada, you can't help but get sort of drawn into being excited for it because everyone's so packed. Because Canada's a bit like Australia, even less so. You've had less champion golfers, you know. So when you actually have a genuine bona fide legend like Weirzy, who's won the Masters, Canada really seems to have embraced him. And the stories through the Canadian Open and stuff, he's just Canada's favorite golfing son, you know. He's going to bring that, and I think that comes into the team room, that feeling, I think. So it's going to be very organized. Everyone's going to sort of feel comfortable that they can just go play golf, and they're going to sort of, I feel like everyone will jump on Weirzy and the Canadians because of just how it's going to feel. It's going to be really exciting, I think.
I told Mike I did an event with him in Montreal, and I gave him an over and under of 2.5 for the number of Canadians on the team. I'll give you that question too, but how many Australians are going to make it this time?
Well, that's sort of hard to say at this point. It'd be great to have Scotty back. Obviously, yeah. He's been playing President's Cups for a really long time. I don't know, this would be like 12 or something. Min Woo, obviously, he's sort of pretty exciting. Jason Day's back. He's missed one or two. He's missed one or two. He missed one maybe. He's missed one, and he's back to playing not at his best, but he looks more peaceful and his body seems to be working. So I'd say at least three, and I think there's a chance to have a couple more. But realistically, I think Min Woo, Scotty, and Jason. Well, Min Woo and Jason look definite, I think, at this point, and hopefully Scotty can make it because he brings some experience. And when he talks, he was very active. He was almost like a little bit of a captain last time in Charlotte. Like when he talks, everybody listens, you know, because he brings sort of obviously all the elegance and the stuff that Adam Scott brings, but he brings so much experience and he's played these so many times and it's visceral how much he wants to win this, you know, because you've been involved for that long and you don't win one. Like it's starting to really bug him, you know, so hopefully three, maybe more.
Perfect. Well, Jeff, we thank you. Congratulations on coming along again. We'll look forward to seeing you in Montreal just down the road.
Can't wait, Bob. It's going to be great.
Great stuff there from Bob and Jeff. So much to unpack there. We're going to unpack it on the other side, talking about how important to get an Adam Scott on the team, the difficulties on becoming a team and doing it quickly. Curious there, Bob, some comments that he mentioned about talking about what the European Ryder Cup team does well and what their dressing room feels like and can we pull from that. I found that so interesting. But I'm going to leave you this question and then we're going to go to break. I'll get your answer on the other side. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most important, 1 being the least important, what's the level of importance that the international team has to win this competition this time around? What's the number of importance that at the very least it needs to come down to the last hour on Sunday and be close? Give you some time to think about the break.
Okay.
We'll pick it up on the other side. We'll finish off our President's Cup conversation and we'll get to our Twitter poll. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Play Golf Myrtle Beach, home to 80 great courses, 60 miles of sandy shores, endless dining and entertainment. Visit PlayGolfMyrtleBeach.com to start planning your golf trip today.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Okay, before we get to our cliffhanger, we asked Bob to assign a number of 1 to 10 on importance of either winning and then down to the wire. Let's get to our Twitter poll because we've been teasing it off the top. We asked our Golf Talk Canada X audience, now with the announcement of the Tigers TGL team, we're curious, what's your level of excitement for the TGL launch in January? And your three choices were this: can't wait to watch, plan on watching, might check it out, zero interest, no chance I tune in. Might check it out one at 42%. But shockingly to me, zero interest, Bob, I will not tune in, was second place at 41%. So 42 and 41, so almost a split really between I might check it out versus I got no intention. Only 17% of our audience, which is something that is fronted by Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy, only 17% say, can't wait, plan to watch. Do you find that a little low?
Yes and no. I'm a little surprised at it. By the same token, two things come to mind as soon as you said that. One is, nobody has a grasp on what this is going to look like we said earlier in the show, or what it's going to be like. And the second part of it is, you know, we're seeing in the United States, not so much in Canada, but the United States, some television ratings are dropping. But I think there is a little bit of from the casual fan, the guy who's not really a golf fan, but he's a sports fan. I think for them, there's a little bit of disillusionment about what's going on here. And in some ways, they kind of don't understand what's happening or why it's happening. And so I think if you took that same poll and you asked it, we can do this. When after the first edition of the TGL goes out, then let's see what the level of interest is like. And now things may have changed in other ways by that time as well. But I think it'll be interesting to see once people get a grasp of what it's going to look like, because it's basically designed for a younger crowd, you know, the video game crowd that can come in and watch this thing. I mean, if you've seen the setup they've got and how it looks like it's going to work out, I mean, it's pretty entertaining. I don't know if I would want to go. I'd rather go and watch them play, you know, St. George's or Hamilton or something, but I'm all in kind of invested in seeing what it's going to look like.
Yeah, me too. I think I'm curious to see what week one looks like compared to week two. I think there's going to be a lot of curiosity out of the gate, and then we'll see after the curiosity number what sticks. Okay, speaking of numbers, all right, before we went to break, I asked you, assign a number 1 to 10, 10 being the most important, 1 being not important at all. How important is it that the international team win this Presidents' Cup? Because that's a narrative we've heard, that this is turning into an exhibition and yada, yada, yada. And if they don't win, what's the point? It wasn't until Europe started winning and dominating the Ryder Cup that all of a sudden people cared about it, because now it was important to America. And then number 2 to that is, well, what if they don't have to win? What about a number of importance so it's just close, where it comes down to the wire and it looks like they can win? So let's start with the first one. In your mind, how important is it that they actually win this President's Cup at Royal Montreal?
I'm going to give that a 7.5, only based on the second question. So I think that they are in dire need of a win, but I think more important would be like what they did in South Africa when it was Ernie and Tiger in a playoff coming down. You need this event to have some kind of feeling of both sides really, really want it. I would love to see the international team win. It would make great for us being in Canada and everything. But I really think right now what we need to do is make this meaningful, make it a competition. So If they win, they can only, if the Americans win, they can only win by one match or one half point. That's all I'm saying. It has to come down to the end of it.
Okay, so I'm going to suggest then that you're likely going to assign a 9 or higher to how important is it that this is down to the wire.
I would say 11.
I love it. You gave it the Spinal Tap, Bob. You gave it the Spinal Tap. Remember their amps went past 10 to 11? Why do your amps go to 11? Because 11's louder than 10. Well, why don't you just make 10 louder? No, ours go to 11. You'll understand it. That is unbelievable. It's funny. I got American colleagues at PGA Tour Live and PGA Tour Radio that are cheering for the international team this time around because they just want the event to survive and thrive, and they just don't think it happens if eventually the international team doesn't get one done. So, you know, we'll see. You know, we've been calling it for a while. Okay. 20 Weeks TaylorMade is on. It's continuing. Go to golftalkcanada.com. Golftalkcanada.com. Big red button says 20 Weeks of TaylorMade. All you've got to do is sign up and register. We're giving away over $35,000 in prizing. We're doing weekly lucky draws. Once you register, you're in. We're drawing over $35,000 in prizing, including the grand prize, to where I am right now. You've got a custom set of golf clubs. You get treated like Rory McIlroy for the day, and then you and a friend, five-star holiday at Casa de Campo in the Dominican Republic to play Teeth of the Dog, Die Four. It's your golf. It's your food. It's your beverage, luxury accommodations. And your opportunity to play golf with Bob and myself and Adam at the home of the RBC Canadian Open next year, this year's home, Hamilton Golf and Country Club, thanks to our friends at Movember. So it's never been bigger than it is this year. And all you've got to do is register to get it done. Again, it's golftalkcanada.com. In hour two, we're going to break down the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. I'm going to tell Bob that I'm completely sick of this event and have zero interest in it. Because, you know, I'm never short of an honest opinion. I almost feel, Bob, like it's a week off. I really do. I just, you know what? The shtick had some gloss on it. Yeah, we put lipstick on the pig. You know, we did it for a year or two. And then we look, and then I'm looking at it and I'm going, oh, I don't care. And I have a problem with it being a legitimate win. I have a problem with this, like us going, yeah, that's a win on the PGA Tour. And it comes with, you know, a 2.5 year exemption. And it comes with all these things that you get when you win a PGA Tour event. We can get into it on the other side. We're going to have our picks for you. We're going to hear from the latest winner on PGA Tour Americas from the Brazil Open. And we're going to get a little deeper into Scottie Scheffler's numbers. There's a number that leaps out of the page at me that I didn't hear until Sunday. And my jaw dropped to the floor. Because it's about a half shot better than Tiger in his prime. And I went, wow? How? That doesn't make sense. We'll do it next. Hour two coming up, Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by Play Golf Myrtle Beach, the golf capital of the world. Thank you for listening to Hour One of GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada. And subscribe to our YouTube channel. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit golftalkcanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television, weekly on the TSN Television Network. This is Hour 2 of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. For over 18 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. Why Picton Mahoney? Visit PictonMahoney.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
Welcome back. Hour two, Golf Talk Canada, Zacchino and Weeks with you. Skulls is playing the Adidas Cup in Pinehurst. I'm in Casa de Campo. I'm going to head out this afternoon after our show and speak to the people here at Casa to try to figure out what's going on with this renovation, Bob. They are digging up Teeth of the Dog. Teeth of the Dog at number 27 on the world top 100 list, and they're going to dig it up. And
wow.
Pete's no longer with us. Yeah, so everybody's like a little concerned, you know, who have you hired? Who's making sure that it stays Teeth of the Dog? And because these days the jerk reaction, everything is just, let's add 1,000 yards everywhere for no bloody reason, right? And I guess there's some concerns, so I'm going to do some investigative reporting, Bob, and ask the hard questions.
There you go. Got faith in you.
All right, we'll get into the Zurich Classic in New Orleans. Scully, who did not have Scotty Scheffler, by the way, Bob, last week at the RBC Heritage. I had Scotty Scheffler at the RBC Heritage. Do you have Scotty Scheffler at Heritage last week? I was not the only guy with Scotty Scheffler.
I figured he'd be on baby duty.
I expect more from you, Bob. Okay. Well, Scully's gone off the board again here in the Zurich Classic of New Orleans with his picks. He has gone well off the board, so we'll get to that as well. We're going to be joined by Matthew Anderson from Mississauga, who won the Brazil Open on PGA Tour Americas. But I wanted to talk a little bit about, because I didn't get a chance to chat with you, Adam, on Monday, because I was in the air. And there are some crazy, crazy, crazy Scotty Scheffler numbers when it comes to this current run. And it's always dangerous. Everybody wants to compare, you know, oh, Tiger. Whoa. Everybody chill out. Not everybody's the new Tiger. This, you know, Scotty Scheffler's his own player. He's very different. Tiger comes by once every 50 years. There's a Tiger. There was a Jack, and then we waited forever until there was a Tiger after a Jack, right? But some of these numbers are mind-boggling. So in his last five starts, he's got the four wins. He's got the runner-up. He's 76 under par. He has not shot a score over par yet this year. In comparison, Nelly Korda, five wins, 61 under par. So obviously nothing but wins for Nelly, not even the second. But this is the number that I had to do a double take. He is currently has a scoring average, an actual scoring average on the PGA Tour of 67.6. 67.6. Bob, in Tiger Woods owns the record. Now, keep in mind, this is a record for a season. So we have a long way to go. So we don't know if this number is going to hold. We don't know if it's going to get worse. We don't know if it's going to get better. We don't know if it's going to stay put. You know, logic, kind of my gut suggests it probably going to go up a little bit. How long can you play this game of golf? Plus, he's going to play an open championship where weather's going to be involved, and weather can skew these averages. But right now, Bob, he is more than a half a shot better than the all-time record. Like, Tiger, I don't have the number in front of me, but Tiger has the all-time record at about 68.3, roughly. He's at 67.6. To be more than a half a shot better at a scoring average that Tiger Woods owns, that number to me is shocking.
It's beyond shocking. It's beyond shocking. I mean, you think of all the variables that go into that. Like, not just the fact that he can play good golf. You think about weather. You think about conditioning of the golf course. You think about time of day. You think about the extra stuff he's been doing outside of playing golf, all the interviews, all the demands on his time. And you just go on and on and on down the list. And then this guy comes to the first tee every day that there's a tournament and ready to go and ready to play. And it is ridiculous to think about that, about how good that is. And I think his last over par round was last August, if I'm not mistaken. So,
yes,
I mean, it is mind-boggling how well he is playing and how he just seems to be able to do it, I don't want to say casually, but it doesn't look like he's breaking a sweat when he's doing it, does he?
No, it doesn't look like he's breaking a sweat at all when he's doing it. You know, we had a big weather delay on Sunday, so obviously we got into this because in our coverage, you know, we're filling time. And of course, people start talking about Tiger and this. And Tiger was intimidating, and he had intensity. And guys would melt around him because of that intimidation factor. This is different. Scotty minds his own business. He's a gentle soul, and he is, I wouldn't call him intimidating, but it ends up resulting in the same way because people are going, like, they look up at the leaderboard and they go, okay, here we go again. And you know, he's going to just put up a number, keep putting the yardage on the board. Guys know he's not going to make a mistake. And the next thing you know, it's over. And look at all the big names on the weekend that started melting around him. The other thing that shocks me about this 67.62, Bob, this number is, he is not playing the American Express Championship every week, putting up these numbers. This is the Masters. This is the Players Championship. This is the Arnold Palmer Invitational. He is playing the best golf courses on the PGA Tour against the best fields on the PGA Tour, putting up these numbers. If he was having a hot fall and we were putting this up at the WWT and Bermuda and the Sanderson Farms and you're putting up these scoring numbers, that's one thing. But, I mean, the Arnold Palmer Invitational is, like, brutal the way that Bay Hill's set up. I mean, it kicks everybody's butt. I mean, at Augusta, people on Thursday and Friday at Augusta were holding on for dear life. He has gone through all this and 67. And just to give you an idea, Nelly Korda, who hasn't lost, who has been more dominant than Scottie Scheffler and is, you know, has got one more win than he does. She's averaging 68.6. That's one full shot higher. And she's more dominant. I think she's more dominant than Scottie Scheffler because it's just basic math. She's got five. He's got four. It's just incredible. I want to throw one more number at you here too, Bob, because we've got a guest joining us here. Dave Duval was the quickest in history. It's a bit of an anomaly. This is in the men's game, strictly speaking in the men's game. The quickest in history to his 10th professional win. 33 starts for Dave Duval. Once he got the lid off, he went nuts. Tiger Woods was the second fastest to 10 professional wins in the men's game at 59 career starts. So that is 1 in 2 fastest to 10 wins on the PGA Tour. Not worldwide, PGA Tour wins. Scottie Scheffler did it in his 51st event on the weekend. 8 events quicker than Tiger Woods. We're watching some pretty cool history, no?
We are. And you're always a little hesitant because it's not a long stretch of tournaments to watch. And you're always a little maybe underwhelmed because of what you said before, that he's not Tiger Woods. He doesn't have this, you know, this presence about him. He's a quiet guy. He's a man of faith. He's a guy who just sort of doesn't really like, I don't say he doesn't like the limelight, but he's not really accustomed to it, I don't think. So you wonder how long this is going to go on. But for what he's achieved in this short period of time, it's absolutely stunning. I mean, the only tournament he didn't win was the one that wasn't a signature event, wasn't against the best players. And you said something just a second ago, which I think is key. He does so many things so well that he's forcing the other players either out of their comfort zone or to try shots that they don't normally have. You saw it at the Masters on 11 when Oberg and Homa both went for the, and Morikawa both went for the 11th green. You saw it last week as well, where he kind of just put another gear into sort of separated himself from the pack. It's a phenomenal stretch of golf that he has going, evidenced by the numbers you just gave. And you wonder, and you kind of just hope how long it's going to go, because it's fun to watch. And again, I don't know how people can't get excited about this, because this is something special we're watching.
I think it can go longer than we anticipate, because I don't consider this a hot streak like Jordan Spieth. I don't consider this where Jordan Spieth, you know, he had to make 60-footers to keep it going. You know, he was making par from parking lots. He was doing Seve Ballesteros type stuff. This is simplistic in its beauty. When he's not hitting greens, he's the best pitcher of a golf ball from tight lies. His bunker game's underrated. He's worked on his putting. He's fixed his putting. Then when his ball striking rolls around and it comes back, which you don't have to wait long for, he hits 15 greens and leads the field in proximity. Oh, by the way, he's one of the straightest drivers of the golf ball in the world as well. So, I mean, the simplicity of the boxes being checked, I think, allows for a longer, more sustainable run of years, not months. Thus, my final questions to you before we go to break, Bob. Over under 7.5 wins on the year. So I'll give you the fall as well. 7.5, including the FedEx fall. Over under wins.
Right now, I got to say over, with the only asterisk being, I don't know what's going to happen when he becomes a father. But But I would say
that is the Astros.
I would say over. I think we're looking Vijay Singh kind of a season.
I do too. Okay, in the vein of that question, 1.5 majors. Over or under?
I'm going to go over. He's already got the one, right? So I think two is easy to him. When people forget what he did the last three majors last year. I mean, he was a tie for second at the Open Championship last year, right? So he was right in the other
contended
two.
At the PGA for a while, right?
Yeah. So I think you're right. Doesn't matter what the course presents to him. I think he's got enough gumption that he can and enough game that he can find a way to get it in the hole.
I agree. Okay, on the other side, we're going to switch gears and turn our attention to PGA Tour Americas as a young 24-year-old Canadian got it done at the Brazil Open last weekend on Sunday, birdied the last two holes to win, becoming the first Canadian to ever win on this new tour. Very cool. He's going to join us next, Matthew Anderson. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. For over 18 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Cobble Beach, Georgian Bay's extraordinary waterfront golf resort community. To learn more about their award-winning golf course and growing community, visit CobbleBeach.com today.
Welcome back, Golf Talk Canada. Zacchino and Weeks with you here on a Wednesday. Scully not with us. Scully playing the Adidas Cup down in Pinehurst. And we're going to get into the Zurich Classic of New Orleans coming up shortly here, give you our picks, talk a little team event. I'll tell Bob again why I'm so not interested, but... Maybe, who knows, maybe we get the Canadian team up near the top. All of a sudden, I'll get interested. Now, speaking of Canadians, on the weekend, the 69th playing of the Brazil Open. And, of course, this is the PGA Tour Americas Tour, which is combining the Latin America Tour, PGA Tour Latino America, and PGA Tour Canada. They amalgamated the tours last year. There's going to be stops in the U.S. as well before it arrives back on Canadian soil. It's only the third event in the history of this new tour, and we already have a very talented and young Canadian now that can call himself the winner of the 2024 Brazil Open. Joining us now, Matthew Anderson. Matthew, thank you so much for taking the time to do this with Bob and I on Golf Talk Canada. First off, congratulations on the big win. And what a way to get it done. I mean, you must be so full of confidence. You've had a really good year so far. You opened up the event with a 63, but you birdie your last two holes to say, not getting away from me this time. What a way to win.
For sure, guys. First of all, thank you for having me on. Yes, the last couple holes for sure was kind of like in the mix. You know, the whole tournament really, and down the back nine. You know, made a couple mistakes, couple bogeys in there, but was like in contention, right in the mix the whole day, and you know, just kind of was sticking to the process and got the two couple birdies to finish 17 and 18, which was obviously very, very nice to close out for sure.
Matthew, I want to, before I get into a little bit more about your season professionally, I had a couple of people on social media reach out to me when there was a picture of you with the trophy and posted up there, and people said, who is this guy? How can we don't know more about him? So just give us like a little background. I know you grew up in Mississauga. I know you won the Ontario Am, but just give us your curriculum vitae, as they say, and where you've been through your golf career so far.
For sure. You mentioned the 2019 Ontario Amateur. I did play in the Canadian Open in 2019. When I was 19, I qualified into that. I spent 5 years through COVID at the University of San Francisco playing Division I golf with a great program down there. Been to a couple of national championships. That was definitely a big part of my golf career. Grew up in Mississauga, obviously, as you mentioned, and stayed there until I left down for San Francisco. And, once I turned pro last summer after I graduated, and played on the Canadian tour, played all right, kept my card. And, then I kind of was preparing for this tour, this kind of newly formed tour, PGA Tour Americas, which is obviously, as you mentioned, a combination of Canada and Latin and, you know, down here in Latin America, just kind of getting my bearings and stuff, and you know, put a lot of work in over the winter, and was obviously happy to start the season strong for sure. So
just quickly, where's your home course? Where did you grow up playing?
My home course is Credit Valley. That's where I grew up playing. Okay. My parents grew up there, and
Matt, did you see this comment? Because I'm looking at your season, T21, a T3 in the previous start at the Atlas Country Club Total Play Championship. Open with 63. I guess two-part question. Did you feel like a win was coming? And what has changed for you? Because it's been a very short turnaround. If you think about it, you just mentioned it. You have not been professional for long. You had an opportunity to play on PGA Tour Canada, the race for the Fortinet Cup, start to figure out what it is to learn to be a professional. But there's a big jump between that stage in your life to winning, because winning is hard on any tour, and there's not a lot of room for mistakes. So what changed for you? Was it something technical? Or was it something just in a comfort level? Because you mentioned stick with the process. Is it just simply learning to what it's like to be a professional golfer?
You know, for sure. I think I'm getting another call here. I gotta just end this.
Don't worry. Ignore it. Don't worry.
Sorry. Life of a superstar.
That's right.
Yeah. Honestly, it was, as you mentioned, definitely just about sticking to the process. You know, there's obviously some learnings you have to go through with being a professional and handling that sort of business and kind of doing things yourself. And, you know, playing for money obviously is certainly a big part of it. Getting comfortable with that aspect. But, you know, I think I sat down with, you know, the members of the national program, you know, coaching staff, and my personal head coach, Al Callahill, who lives at Edmonton, and just kind of over the winter decided, you know, which aspects of the game that I need to be better at and really honing those down, and, you know, what drills and how am I going to spend my time and getting those better. And one of the aspects was putting, you know, 5 to 10 feet, and you know, I was losing, you know, just over a shot around, you know, last year in the summer. And I thought, you know, if I gained a shot, you know, that would kind of be enough to put me into the next level. Obviously other things, you know, go into that as well, but that was a big part of what I worked on over the winter. And you know, I thought my game was definitely turning for the better coming into this America season, heading into the first events in Mexico. And you know, I had a couple good rounds in Mexico, a couple bad rounds, but I saw a lot in those rounds that I knew that I could be in contention and for sure went out here, and obviously being in contention the whole way the next week in Mexico put a lot of, you know, reinforced my mind that, you know, I have the game to win out here. I'm plenty good enough. And I think at that point I felt like it was just a matter of time. So
it's first rounds are your specialties, right? 62, 63, the last two events. That's a pretty good way to get out of the gate. But what are your goals now for the rest of this season? Obviously, you want to stay on top of the Fortinet Cup, which I know that's where you are at the moment. But are you going to try and qualify for the RBC Canadian Open, or are you just going to focus on that tour? What's your plan?
Yeah, so, you know, hopefully, if I play well enough, I might be able to gain an exemption, but nothing has been sorted yet. I've just planned to play in the Monday qualifier, so that would be the plan for that. You know, as far as the playing on a consistent tour, I mean, obviously my goal is to, you know, retain some sort of Korn Ferry status for the following year. I know top 10 on this tour will guarantee that, but you know, my goals are obviously to continue what I'm doing and, you know, end up being first. But yeah, so I'll just be playing PGA Tour Americas for the kind of the rest of this year, Latin events, finishing and then going into Canada, and hopefully I can make an appearance at the Canadian Open this year at Hamilton.
Well, Matt, congratulations. The good news is you just keep playing and open it up with 62s and 63s and the rest will take care of itself. So that's the good news.
Exactly,
so
exactly.
We speak to all the winners weekly on PGA Tour America. So let's try to do this again. How about that at some point throughout the year?
Absolutely, guys. Absolutely.
All right, Matt. Thanks so much. Congratulations. Safe travels. Matthew Anderson, the winner on PGA Tour Americas. On the other side, Bob and I are going to switch gears. I'm going to complain about the Zurich Classic of New Orleans, and then we're going to give our picks. That's all coming up next on GTC.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Cobble Beach, Georgian Bay's extraordinary waterfront golf resort community. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Cadillac and the all-electric vehicles that get you in the game. From Lyric to the first-ever Escalade IQ, there will be a Cadillac EV icon for you.
Welcome back, Golf Talk Canada. All right, Zurich Classic of New Orleans. Now, a couple of years ago, how many years, Bob, is this the team format now? I can't recall. Are we like six or seven now?
I think it's got to be somewhere around there. I guess we could have looked that up. I'll look it up while you're talking. How about that?
Okay. All right. I mean, when they did the flip originally half a dozen years ago or so, I understand why they did it. They're trying to separate themselves and do something a little different on the PGA Tour, and I get it. And you know what? They have at times attracted a better field. For example, Rory McIlroy is, you know, playing this year with Shane Lowry. If there wasn't a team event, would Rory ever show up at the Zurich Classic of New Orleans? Not going to happen. Cantlay and Shoffley, you know, winners here, playing again. Or, you know, would they be in the field? So I guess in a certain way, it has accomplished what they set out to do. You know, walk-up music, it's different. But at the same time, Bob, I land where I always land. I land the same place where I land in the team event for LIV. I just, unless there is national pride on the line, like a Ryder Cup or something along those lines, I have a very hard time caring about team golf. It doesn't engage me. I don't know why. I don't find it interesting. Where are you now with this event 6 years later or so?
It is. It's actually the seventh year. So there you go.
There you go.
Okay. I like it only from the sake of I think it's different. I think that's why they went to this. If you are the Zurich Classic of New Orleans, and you are you're trying to find a place to fit your tournament, and you've got the Masters, you've got a signature event with the RBC Heritage, you've got Byron Nelson, which isn't maybe that big of a one, but then you've got Wells Fargo. After that, which is a signature event. So you're kind of caught in this little gaggle of big events where guys are going to opt out. So you have to give them some other reason to play. Rory McIlroy is only playing here because this is a team event. He loves to play with Shane Lowry. He wants to do that. I think the same thing for quite a few of the players here, probably Shoffley and Cantlay, maybe some of the Canadians in there. But I think there's enough fun to it. There's enough... the ambiance they've created down there. I don't know if you've seen, like on the practice rounds, they have some of the great New Orleans chefs and restaurants with food on the golf course. And it's, I remember Carl Peterson telling me that's the only tournament where you can go and put on 20 pounds before the first tees on Thursday. You know, it's just so much eating that you can do there at these stops. So I think it's almost sort of a you have to do it because otherwise this tournament is just going to sort of sit there and be an event with very few players in it. By the way, we should point out that before this was a team event, way back in 1967, our own George Newson won this event, holding off Jack Nicklaus by a shot. Yeah. So there you go. But I do think this is something that the players love, and if the players love it, why not?
Okay, one last question before we go to our picks. Would this event make more sense? I'm not talking about weather, because we know certain times of year, New Orleans, I understand, I get it. But excluding weather, would this event make more sense in the FedEx fall? Would this event make more sense when we're not marching towards majors and playoffs?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, the one sticky point you could make about this is that the two guys both get, if whoever wins, get the full rewards as if it was a single winner. So they both get two-year exemptions.
Yes.
They both get, you know, FedEx winning points. So there's a lot going on there that, you know, might bother some and irk some people when you sort of do the counting at the end of the season. So it would be good. And you've got that, you know, the most popular non-tournament finish, non-tournament on the PGA Tour, the fun or the silly season, whatever you call it, is that Grant Thornton one now. Apparently you can't get in. So the guys were telling me it's really tough.
Right.
So I think guys like to do, I think guys like to play. I think guys like to play play in pairs. And listen, Nick Taylor and Adam Hadwin have both said to me, hey, we're going to show Mike Weir something that we should be a team together. And, you know, if one of us doesn't make it on points, we should get our picks there.
You know, it's funny you mention that, Bob, because I think we're going to go there. I think all three of us might go there. Let me give you Scully's picks because he texted them to me the other night. He's leading with Hadwin and Taylor, to your point, saying, hey, maybe they can prove something here, show a little something. Then the Højgaard brothers are playing together. So that's interesting there. He's going with the brother duo, and then he's going with Thomas Dietrich and Bobby McIntyre as his final twosome. So Hadwin, Taylor, Højgaard brothers, Dietrich and McIntyre, Adam Scully. Bob, I'll let you lead the way. I know Scully's right off the board again. God bless him.
I was just gonna say,
who are you leading with here?
I was just going to say, where did that third team come from? I do a little written column every week on TSN.ca, and I picked six names in that one. One of them was Bryce Garnett and Sepp Straka, so maybe that's a little different. But I'm going.
Maybe he read your article.
Maybe that's right. I'm going to go off the top with Cantlay and Shoffley because I think this is sort of like picking Scottie Scheffler in a regular stroke event. These guys have had a great run. They're great pals. They're great buddies. Shoffley told a great story this week where his college coach at one point paired him with Cantlay to play around. And he said, Cantlay shot 63. He said, I think I shot 74. And someone says, well, what did you learn? He says, I learned that I need to be a lot better golfer if I was going to beat these guys, which is pretty good. So, and the old adage, if you can't beat them, let's join them. But they won this event in 2022, and they finished in a tie for fourth last year. They're on pretty good form. Cantlay, you know, he's had sort of an off and on season, but he finished tied for third last week. And Shoffley has seven top 10 finishes this season. So I think that works. My second pick, I'm going with the Canadian duo, Taylor and Hadwin. I think those two guys, they finished runner-up last year. They had a 63 in alternate shot, which, woof, that goes a long way. Those guys, that's the toughest one to score in. And, of course, they've been friends for so long. And I think being friends makes it easier to play in that alternate shot format because you don't – saying sorry is not quite as much of a big shtick. And I mean, those guys grew up playing on Ledgeview together in BC. It's a pretty amazing story about them. And this could be also a preview to see who plays together at the Olympics, because right now this would be the duo if they were to select the team right now. That would be it. So those are my first two. I actually should have given you a chance. Or do you want me to go with my third? What should I do?
Go ahead. We'll just do all three. All right. We've already started there.
Okay. Yeah,
Before you get to your third, Bob. Hold on. Before you get to your third, let me intervene by pulling back the curtain, as we say on Golf Talk Canada, and let our audience know that typically we would text each other on Monday night into the same group chat. These are our picks this week. And normally Bob and I fire them to Adam and Adam gives them to us and we kind of know where each other is going. And if we have duplicates, so be it. This week with Adam on the road, myself on the road, Bob at home, I didn't know anybody's picks. Bob didn't know my picks. All I got were Adam's last night. And I just told Bob for the first time. That's the first time Bob heard Adam's picks. So I don't know Bob's picks, but I have a horrible feeling, Bob, that when you throw it to me, I'm just going to say ditto. Because so far, we're two for two. Okay.
I'll bet you we are too.
So go ahead. So go ahead.
Okay.
Give me your third, and it might be a ditto.
Well, my third is a pretty popular one, so it might be. It's Lowry and McIlroy. These two players are going. I can tell by your laugh we've got ditto. But I think these two guys are going to have more fun than anybody out on this tournament. I think these guys just love playing together. I think they have the same kind of fun approach to the game. And I think, again, as we've talked around, this is what Rory McIlroy needs. He needs a guy like Shane Lowry to joke and laugh and lighten it up a little bit, and maybe that'll lighten things up and loosen things up a little bit. Okay, Mark, over to you. Do you have any interesting picks today?
I got nothing to add here at all, Bob, except that I'm with you. It's like, how do you – like when you and I are breaking it down and taking a look at, you know, who we like that week, and we look at, okay, horses for courses. You know, what have they done at this tournament in recent years, right? What they do well as a player, does it fit this venue? What's their recent form like? These are the things I kind of go through to kind of find my way through who I think could contend that week. I think a lot of that just gets blown up this week. I think I go, okay, who's got chemistry? Who's really looking forward to going out there and playing together? Now, Shoffley and Cantley happen to be checking that box and happen to be guys that have won this tournament before and finished fourth last year. So that Cantley-Shoffley is a no-brainer. Then you went to Hadwin and Taylor, and I'm going, okay, no-brainer. Played a lot of golf together already, friends, plus playing for other stuff, right? Playing for stuff in a way, not that a win is huge, but in a way, playing for something bigger than the Zurich. Playing for, look, this is an Olympic preview. This is a President's Cup potential preview. Like it's a bigger thing there. You know, kind of like when we used to see Cam Smith and Mark Leishman play together. Australia, right?
Right.
It's like a bigger thing. That's where, that to me, that's Taylor and Hadwin. And then finally, the reason I went with Rory and Lowry for my final group is I think in a very, very, very bizarre way, the next 4 days of the Zurich Classic of New Orleans could be a real turning point in the season for Rory McIlroy. I think if he can find joy, if he can find that bounce, that lightheartedness, and have some fun with Shane Lowry and go shoot at some flags and make some birdies and putt like he putts when he's not worried about the one coming back, where, you know, when Rory putts well, he doesn't putt with four doors, he putts with one. Everything goes in the heart with a ton of speed off the backboard when he putts well. I think if he can find that joy this week, Bob, it might really, like, I don't want to say he's playing horrible because he had a fine RBC, but Rory's standard is a different standard, right? He wasn't in contention at Augusta. He wants to win majors. He wants to win big events. That's not happening right now. If he can find joy in the next 4 days and kind of bottle that feeling and remember that that's who he is. You know, Nick Price always used to say, you know, I'm a fast talker. I'm a fast walker. I do things quickly. I've got a swing. I got a fast swing cadence, and you've got to dance with who brought you to the ball. And if I tried to swing the club like Freddie Couples, like I was, you know, Perry Como or Barry Manilow, you know, there'd be a problem because you got to swing within your own personality. And I think Rory's got to play within his own personality. And Rory isn't an assassin like Tiger. Rory is a happy, high energy, excitable guy. And that's not what we're seeing right now. And if he finds it this week, I think it could be huge for him. Do you agree that he might? Yeah. This could be a big 4 days for him.
I go back to the Canadian Open at Hamilton when he had that great last round, and you know he was kind of in a great mood, fun mood. Now, when you play well, obviously it's a little easier to do that, but he was laughing and chuckling down the stretch almost because it was so, his game was so good that you're kind of going, my God, you got to be kidding! Like, am I really playing this well? Is it this good? I don't know. And so I just feel that when he does have a smile and when he doesn't kind of get frustrated by missing putts or missing shots or missing opportunities, those are going to happen. But how you handle them, and it might be a little easier with Shane Lowry standing beside you, then I think he could have a great week.
Well, we'll see, and it'll be something to watch. And, of course, if they're in contention on Sunday, it would be great for Zurich. And who knows, maybe we get the Canadians in there. Unfortunately, it's Bob and Mark versus Adam this week is what it's turned into.
Let me ask you something else. Let me ask you something else before we go to break. So tonight on SportsCenter, we do every Wednesday, we do speed golf, five questions.
Yes. Yes.
I don't normally do this, but I'm gonna share with you one of the questions that I'm gonna get asked to get your opinion.
Okay.
And it says, based on the team event that we have this week, if you could pick any person from TSN, any personality from TSN to be your partner, Who would it be?
Can I pick you and Adam? Can I stay within the Golf Talk Canada family, or do I have to go outside? Well, I'm going to go with you. We're practically career undefeated. It's a no-brainer. Yeah. I mean, everywhere we go, we take them down, Bob. Like, we get our strokes, I'm assuming, right?
That's right. Well, that's very nice of you to say. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, but like, look at what Adam had to do. Adam had to create a whole other division of 20 weeks of TaylorMade so he can win a random partner from, like, our universe in another weak attempt to take us down on another different golf course. I mean, it's starting to get sad, Bob. It really is. All right.
Well, I may not play well, but I know how to pick good partners. So there we go.
The better question, Bob, is I need you to think on the other side, when we put a bow on the show, what our walk-up music would be. That is the key. What is our walk-up music for a team competition, you and I? Okay, on the other side, we'll put a bow on the show, and we'll tee up what you got to do to win 35,000, your chance at over 35,000 in prizing on 20 weeks of TaylorMade. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Cadillac's all-electric vehicles that get you in the game. Choose from a $750 credit with Flow or installation of a Level 2 home charging capability from Qmerit when you purchase or lease a new Cadillac Lyric. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Adidas Golf and the new Tour 360 24. Tour 360 raises the bar of premium high-performing golf shoe with its improved traction, stability, and comfort, wrapping you with all the confidence you need on the course. Elevate your game with a pair this season by visiting adidas.ca/tour360 to learn more.
Welcome back, Golf Talk Canada, as we put a bow on it for today. If you missed our television show last night, repeat schedule is 2 p.m. this afternoon, TSN 1 and 4, and then again at 5 p.m. on TSN 2. It's our Portugal travel special. Scully went to Portugal earlier this year. I've never been. Bob, you ever been to Portugal to play golf or to drink wine and walk around?
Yeah. No, neither of those. I've never been to Portugal. It's definitely on the visit list, maybe when I retire in about 40 years, when I can afford to retire.
I love it. You're in too good shape to retire. You've got too much to say and you're in too good a shape. All right. So check out our Portugal travel special. And if you go to our YouTube channel as well, we're posting a bunch of the special up on Golf Talk Canada TV and radio YouTube as well. But Adam did a great job with that. It looked like a ton of fun. I got to get over there and play some golf at some point. 20 weeks TaylorMade continue. Just go to golftalkcanada.com, register, big red button, can't miss it. Once you're registered once, you're in for the entire week, for the entire year, $35K in prizing available, including a grand prize. Get treated like Rory McIlroy for the day. Custom set of TaylorMade golf clubs top to bottom. You get a trip for two to Casa de Campo here in the Dominican Republic, where I am right now staring outside at 98-degree weather. There's no one on the golf course, Bob. It's empty. I think you just would drop. Mrs. Golf Talk Canada decided to go out, though. I mean, I don't know what she's doing out there other than potentially melting, bombing it 132, I'm assuming, down the middle right now as her head's on fire. I'll get the play-by-play, I'm sure, after we hang up this afternoon. But get it done. Go register, golftalkcanada.com, 20 weeks TaylorMade. And then your opportunity to play golf with Bob, myself, and Adam at Hamilton Country Club, thanks to our friends over at Movember. And more coming with Movember throughout the year. What's up the rest of the week, Bob? I know you said next week the weather looks good, so you're going to get the clubs out next week. Are you traveling this week? You on Canadian soil? Can you exit the house, or is it freezing?
Staying home and hopefully going to get a game in on the weekend. It looks promising. Sunday looks like it's going to get up in the 20s, so that's great. Hoping to hit the range. They're waiting to put the nets up at our range, so I'm going to hopefully do that. Get these new clubs that I haven't hit, except in the simulator, out and do that. So got lots on the go here this weekend.
We've only got a minute or so left. I'm dealing with equipment issues. They're not bad. There's a bunch of good options, but I'm confused as to what options to go with. I've got different wood combinations with hybrid. And then if I put this wood in, I can't put the hybrid in because I've already got 14 clubs. So I'm more confused. I love the driver. It's just a fairway wood hybrid issue. What do you got in the bag? Did you do Max, just the regular, the LS driver-wise? Where did they fit you, and what was the wood combo?
Yeah, I just got the Max. I've got a 3-wood. I'm still waiting for a 5-wood to arrive and my hybrid. So I got them in from last year. But I generally go with like a 5-wood, which I love, and then like a 4 hybrid. Start with the irons, go down a 5-iron. I've got the QI irons as well, which I'm looking forward to. And then down into the wedges. So I haven't decided on my wedges yet, and it keeps bothering me to pick which ones I should get. I should get the high toes again or not. But yeah, I'm pretty comfortable with what I've got in the bag. It's not a ton different from what it's been in past years, and I'm looking forward to it.
And what a season TaylorMade's having already, with just Nelly Korda and Scottie Scheffler alone, with the wins being piled up by the Max in Korda's bag, by the stock QI10 in Scheffler's bag. There's LSs out there, all different varieties of fairway metals. I mean, what a way to come out of the gates if you remember Team TaylorMade. And we haven't really got into how good the ball is yet. I can't wait till we get out in Toronto on courses we know, like Weston and the Hunt, and places we're familiar, and see the ball in the heat. I think we're going to be shocked at how good the golf ball is, which is going to make me even angrier at the USGA. But that's for another time, Bob. Bob, you have a great week. I will talk to you Monday. We're back 2 hours of Golf Talk Canada Radio Monday, 10 a.m. next week TV. And we'll get a scoop on how successful Scully was in his adventure at the Adidas Cup. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, first good decision on the golf course, it always starts in the closet.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Adidas Golf and the new Tour 360 24. Tour 360 raises the bar of premium high-performing golf shoe with its improved traction, stability, and comfort, wrapping you with all the confidence you need on the course. Elevate your game with a pair this season by visiting adidas.ca/tour360 to learn more. Thank you for listening to GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada. And subscribe to our YouTube channel. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit golftalkcanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television, weekly on the TSN Television Network.